Welcome to the Parental Compass with Bobby Williams. I'm your host, Bobby Williams. As always, please leave a comment, give us a share, subscribe to our YouTube, give our Facebook a like. All of those things are helping us to get the show out there, and so it makes a big difference. Show your support. Today, we're getting into a really serious topic. We're going to be talking about parenting through divorce. It's something a lot of people have had to deal with, but it's not easy, obviously, for anyone. Our guest is Cheryl Jackson. Cheryl is a parenting coach who has helped literally thousands and thousands of parents. We talked about a lot of different ideas, mainly how do you get through the situation with grace? And most of all, how can you help your children get through the situation? So welcome to the Parental Compass.
And what we learned is it has nothing to do with us as the presenters, but it had so much more to do with the unresolved anger and frustration that they had on the inside. So we learned earlier on, it's always better to start with focusing on the stages of grief, what a person is actually feeling, and help them to be able to move into what is going to be best for their kids, you know? Yeah. And that, I remember, it was always such an interesting thing. You never know whether or not there's gonna be a bomb that goes off, you know, in the midst of a class, or
someone just gets real mad mid-class. Yeah. Well, so what about that, dealing with anger? Because that seems like that's the strongest initial feeling when a divorce happens. Do you have any tips or anything that can help people get through that stage? Because it's infuriating.
Well, first things first, you know, we know that children are born out of the love, care, and concern that two people have for one another, you know, and there's where life is created. And there's this initial plan of how we're going to live our lives and raise our children and move forward. And then, and I always like to say, for whatever the reason, something goes wrong, you know, and that initial hope, that dream, you know, is not gonna come to fruition. And ultimately, you have people that just become absolutely angry, but in allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to be sad, to be angry, to not, you know, to work through those particular emotions helps them to be able to get to that place of acceptance. You know, those stages of grief go, you know, from, you know, denial all the way to a place of acceptance. And anger is one that people tend to, if you don't give yourself permission to move through, you can get stuck.
You know, we're starting from the beginning. How do you tell your kids you're planning to get a divorce, or what's the appropriate amount of information to share with them?
Well, you know, I always, you know, I've been asked that question so many times, Bob, and it's kind of like this, you know, to acknowledge to the children, you know, without being deceptive, you know, like, oh, we love each other. And, you know, love obviously changes, but what usually does not change is the love that the parents have for the kids. So just acknowledging mommy loves you, daddy loves you, you know, we love you, you know, but things have changed between the two of us. And things are going to be different, you know, so helping them to understand change is about to take place. It has never been the recommendation to acknowledge to a child any of the details of why people end up in a divorce. Now, this is one thing that I do know, depending upon the age of the child and, you know, everyone has this opportunity to look back and to remember details of what was really going on and happening in one's life. So if a child comes to a knowledge and understanding of what the foundation is, was with the divorce taking place, is one thing. But for a parent to sit down and explain that it really was all the other parents' fault and get into that blaming, there's an impact that happens to a child in a way that we just don't encourage.
Yeah. Well, what if you're in a situation like that? Like the other parent is kind of actively trying to turn your kids against you. What's the answer there? You know,
My encouragement has always been to just continue to stay focused on your relationship with the child, you know, and not to engage into any of the negativity of what's going on, because Bob, I tell you, it ends up becoming more problematic for a person to feel the need to justify their side. You know, the child has been exposed to some information from one parent, and now the other parent wants to explain themselves to the child as to why or what ultimately happened. And that's just something that we don't encourage. You know, I would always encourage a parent to just, you know, if a child has been exposed to information and now this child is saying, hey, you know, mom or dad said this, you know, to just really engage with the child and how they feel about what was going on and what they were exposed to, as opposed to going into details, no, that didn't happen that way, or, you know, to engage the child in a conversation. So,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. Sometimes it seems like divorces can be generational, and especially when you're young, you really, what happens with your parents has a big impact on you. What can you as a parent do to try to avoid that so that your kids can have healthy relationships in the future?
Well, you know, wonderful question, Bob. Honestly, I believe this. A divorce takes place. If people can stop and be able to focus enough on themselves, as opposed to feeling the need to jump into another relationship and just continue to move forward, but to stop and really process and work on themselves and deal with some of the situation or circumstances surrounding that, you know, and develop themselves, you know, it gives the child an example, you know, where we don't have to continue in the same vein. One of the things that I see is when you have a person who, you know, goes from one relationship to the next relationship and then to the next relationship, that just becomes a pattern, a habit in life, where it's easy to just, you know, it's almost like the vows, you know, aren't that significant, you know. But if you just stop and allow yourself to heal, and see, that's the important thing, giving yourself permission to heal and to grow from whatever experience you had, and become a solid parent. Even, you know, one of the things we always have said, all it takes is one solid, stable parent to help a child to become stable, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't have to, you got one parent who falls into the ditch. You know, you're traveling down a road and one parent falls into the ditch. The answer is not for the other parent to also fall into another ditch, but you stay steady, you know, and focused on the developing of your child, and ultimately, they can learn to have a healthy relationship. Healthy and whole is what we're focused on. And I do believe every parent would want that for their child, you know, but to stop and take a look at the potential deficits that may have occurred, you know, get a handle on those kinds of things and continue to move forward.
Powerful. I like that. So, you know, oftentimes when you're splitting up, you can have different ideas about parenting. So, you know, one parent has one set of rules. They let their kids stay up till 11 at night. You want your kid to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. Or, you know, one parent has a awesome Xbox. You don't have an Xbox. So I guess what my question is how do you deal with different rules and different kind of living standards?
Yeah. One of the things we always encourage is, you know, children will learn to adapt. You know, in an ideal world, Bob, if you could have both parents who agree and establish and move things forward in a together kind of a fashion would be ideal. I say ideal, kind of, sort of, but I don't know that I believe that 1,000%. But for the most part, you know, if you got parents that are willing to be consistent, because, and this is the example that comes to mind, you know, a child gets in trouble at one household, they didn't do their homework properly, and there's some kind of a punishment. But it's now time for them to spend time with the other parent. So now the primary parent wants the other parent to continue the discipline. However, this other parent only has the weekend to be with the child. You know, and they want to be able to spend that time. So I don't know that it is always necessary to be so absolutely consistent. And the reason why I say that is children will adapt. They will learn. The expectation in one parent's home is one thing, and the expectation in the other parent's home is another thing.
What if you're dealing with a parent that just doesn't even want to be involved? Because I know that's an issue for a lot of people too, is one parent just is MIA.
Yeah. If you have an MIA, the only thing that you can do is really help the child to handle their feelings and emotions around that missing parent. And then one of the things I encourage is this, if it's a primary mom who's caring for a child and the father's who's missing, to make sure that the grandpa, the uncles, or some kind of a male role model can be a part of that child's life and vice versa. If it's a primary father, you know, does not mean that you have to run out and grab hold of the next woman to get married to, and now your child has a mom. But if there's a grandmother or an aunt or someone who can play that role, then the child has a sense of a balance. But this is a reality, Bob, when it comes to the missing of a mother or a father, you know, that's just a sadness that a child has. You have to help them to come to a place of acceptance. What we can't do is make any parent want to play a role in their child's life, you know? And I, you know, over these years, I find it really super sad that is the truth and it is the case. Usually what will happen is, you know, you'll have a parent and they'll go away and they're doing whatever they need to do. And then they come to a reality, you know, I want to play a role in my child's life. And then they do come back. It doesn't always happen. Occasionally, you do have to move on.
I think another thing that's tough is just when you're going through a divorce, you're dealing with so much grief, so much pain. Mm-hmm. And then as a parent, you're meant to be the stabilizing force in your child's life. And even, you know, all the additional pressures right now with COVID and everything going on right now, how do you think you can still be like an effective parent when you're just not at your best, when you're dealing with a form of trauma?
One of the things that I truly do believe is you as the one who's been impacted, you know, marriage is falling apart, you're dealing with your own emotions. And it's so important that you do. But you can deal with your emotions and take time, you know, to be able to help your child to be okay as well. You know, the grieving doesn't last always. And if you give yourself permission, and this is really the key, you got to work through the feelings and the emotions concerning that.
Yeah, it seems like taking care of yourself is like a big theme in some of the things you're saying.
Yeah, I recall one of the things, even when my first child, and I'll share this with you, it's a good example, a good analogy. First child I had, I remember catching a flight, and the stewardess would then explain to me how important it is for me to make sure that the oxygen mask was covered for me and that I was secured before I even tried to care for the child. Now here, the first time, Mom, I was just offended. It's like, oh, how could you tell me? I want to give the oxygen to the child and make sure that this child is okay. And I was feeling a little odd about that, you know? So I said something to the stewardess and I said, you know, why would I take care of myself before I take care of my child? And the stewardess looked at me and she was like, well, who's going to take care of the child if something bad happens to you? Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me as an example that I share with other parents. You got to take care of yourself in order for you to help other little human beings to become stable, healthy, well-adjusted. You have to first be healthy and well-adjusted yourself. So there starts that mission, focusing in on making sure that you're okay so that you can take care of your kids as well.
What if you're in just a knockout custody battle? And is there a way to deal with that with grace? Because that seems like that would be very frustrating.
Yeah, it absolutely is frustrating. And in a knockout battle, it always helps to have a good attorney, you know, number one, and to just know that you have that battle to go through. Now, what comes to mind when you say that? I think about fathers who have major battles, you know, to want to be in the lives of their children, and they're fighting against, it seems like, a force that just is coming against them. And I just that's the example that comes to mind is fathers. I know it goes both ways. But, you know, when you have the battle, the one thing you don't do is decide not to, you know, not to fight, because this is about your children, you know, this is about your children. And you want to stay in the fight, you know, as you're taking care of yourself. And hopefully, you know, eventually it comes to an end, you know.
Yeah. Do you think it is tougher for fathers? Because I know that's something you hear a lot.
You do hear a lot. And I tell you, I've seen it both ways, but I do know that fathers, I have seen in my lifetime, because at one point in time, Bob, it was automatically that the children would be with the mothers. Mm-hmm. I can tell you for sure that's just not the case anymore. And I know things have improved a lot, but I do believe that fathers are still in a place of fighting. But I tell you, one of the most powerful things that I have seen is a father who's very involved, you know, with the child, knowing their favorite color and, you know, what they really like, and just really engaged in the life of their child. I've seen it, and it's just a powerful thing. So,
yeah. Well, it's such a difficult and frustrating time in life. Do you see any common traits with parents who are able to deal with this in a positive way, or you could view it as a success?
You know, a successful disillusion is people who have honestly worked through their emotions and are able to see this other parent not as the enemy, but as the child's other parent, and understand the importance and the value in being able to communicate one with the other on behalf of the child. It's so funny. I've seen examples where you have parents who have not had communication, but then started communicating and find out that the child has been manipulating both of them. They're believing, you know, that certain things are happening in this home, and the child will make it out to be that that's what's really going on. But when the parents got to communicate and come to find out, that wasn't the story at all. And sometimes you'll have a child who will want to have parents communicating, even if, you know, it's about an argument, whatever it takes for that there to be some level of communication. But ideally, if you have parents who have worked through the emotional impact and have come to that place of acceptance and are ready to focus on parenting and then move forward in that way and work together in a positive way, it makes the situation so much better.
Totally. Do you have any closing thoughts or things that we haven't talked about that you want people to know?
Again, I think it's critical that working through any outstanding emotions is key. Keeping what's most important is the love, care, and concern that you have for your children, making that a priority, and making sure that they become healthy and well-adjusted. You know, letting go of the past, letting go of some of the problems, and being able to move forward and recognize and know that, you know, even though the divorce did take place, you know, you can still move forward in a powerful way. And your children do not have to be from what they used to call a broken home. Doesn't have to come across that way. But ultimately, if you have parents that are learning how to communicate and work together to make sure that the child is healthy and well established and stable, that's really the key.
Well, this has been an awesome conversation. So Cheryl, just thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Parental Compass, and hopefully we can have you back sometime.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Cheryl, for coming on the show. I love your energy and just your general vibe. You're cool. So, you know, divorce is miserable for anyone who has to deal with it, but I'm glad that we have people like Cheryl helping to navigate parents through this situation. Please leave us a comment that would be something you could really do to help out the show. And so it'd make a difference to us. Like, share, subscribe, all those good things. And we'll see you next week on the Parental Compass. Peace.